Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It's 1 o'clock on Wednesday, November 9th, 2022. My name is Julie Fedorchak. I'm chair of the commission. I'll call this work session to order, even though it's not like an official order. But I don't have any opening comments. Sherry, do you?
No, I do not.
All right, so then we'll pass it over to the portfolio holder, Commissioner Crispin, to take it from here.
Okay. I don't really have opening comments per se, although maybe this does qualify as such. There are time constraints on issuing an opinion, and we're knocking right at the door of that. So I'm just going to turn this over to staff and ask for an explanation of the hearing with the hearing officer and the recommendation, but also if you could point out where we're at with the time constraints as far as rendering a decision. So that's all I have.
I guess after the informal conference we had with Coyote Creek Mining Company and Broughton and the Voits, we have 30 days to issue an order. So that would be on Friday. So we don't, that's a holiday, so we have to issue the order by tomorrow at the very latest. But we did receive an order from the Voits, the Reclamation Division's recommended order, and then also the ALJ's.
Okay. And when you say we'd have to issue an order by tomorrow, does something have to be done physically in writing or something? Or if there's a meeting tomorrow that, because of this potential weather, has to be virtual, would that work out that, well, we decided that day? Or do you mean like something we have to actually get something in the mail or document and date something?
I believe we would have to send it by certified mail by tomorrow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. So you were going to have staff walk through other stuff, though, right?
Yeah, explain what happened with the informal conference. Mm.
And I guess, Jonathan, unless you want to feel free to jump in at any point in time, but this is really an alternative participation procedure, a little different than the formal hearings that I know a lot of you are pretty familiar with. And I think the two of you, of course, and we have a new commissioner, she hasn't been involved in one of these formal procedures through the Reclamation Division. This is essentially a first step, and largely it provides an opportunity for all the various interested persons or affected persons to come in there and essentially have a discussion with the company as well as the neutral staff on, I guess, different impacts that are occurring and also changes that may need to be proposed as part of the revision process. Just so you all are aware as well. Throughout the revision process, there usually is continuous feedback through that process until there's final approval, and many changes generally do occur as a result of staff's participation throughout that process. During this, prior to the informal conference, the Voits did request that the Voits requested they did not issue. They noticed a number of issues that they wanted to have a discussion during the informal conference, including dust, projected topsoil and subsoil respread depths, reclamation variances, and the timing of revegetation. All these items were ultimately discussed. There were a couple other additional items that were brought forward during the informal conference procedure, and they weren't addressed as extensively as the noticed issues, largely due to the fact that there would be an opportunity to make sure there's appropriate staff as well as company personnel to discuss those issues. So,
can largely, I ask a question about that process?
Of course.
So, when you have an informal, what is it called? Informal conference?
Yeah.
There's a process that's spelled out that requires the formal identification of the issues and the notice of those?
Generally, yes. Okay. The person does notice the issues that they would like to actually have presented at the informal conference. And that's just common sense from otherwise, who would we know to bring? We have a number wide areas of expertise, and we would not necessarily have all our Reclamation Division available without notice of that. So, That being said, the opportunity to sit down and have that discussion is there's no major issue with bringing up new items and new issues during the proceeding from the standpoint that they would like everyone to be aware of them moving forward. And that doesn't have to be the end of the discussion as well. The whole revision process continues after this informal conference too. So,
Could those be added in a different informal conference request, the issues that weren't addressed?
Yes.
Okay. There's no timeline that has already expired for requesting something like that?
Jonathan, you off the top of your head on that?
I believe the timeline for requesting an informal conference has expired, but if we approve the permit, then there will be another window of opportunity.
Right. So there are multiple windows of opportunity, not only for the informal conferences, but also for the formal conference as well, including after we ultimately approve the revision, they would have an opportunity then to also
object
to the ultimate decision by the Reclamation Division and the Commission as well, and request formal action on that too.
Okay.
So a number of the issues were discussed. Ultimately, we broke them down by heading in our proposed order that looks very similar to what was provided by the administrative law judge, who was a substantive administrative law judge as appointed in this case. We generally discussed the dust and variance areas, and I know two of you are fairly familiar with some of these issues. The dust from the previous cases, I think 19189 and 19190 from a few years ago. There was discussion regarding the variance of final native grassland seedings. And that was one issue specifically that staff agreed with the Voights on. The revisions appeared to make some changes that left, in staff's opinion, some of the reseeding and revegetation somewhat open-ended. And so if you actually look at the final order and the ruling of this, that was what was ultimately requested to be addressed, which I think my understanding would be that we probably would be requesting that throughout the process regardless as well. But this does memorialize this and provide some sort of formal evaluation and determination that does need to, in fact, occur and the companies to provide some additional clarification. There's discussion about the revegetation, and during the proceeding, one item that was brought forward was the use of forbs in the delayed seed mix, and to the extent that we get into some depth in that, I think Mr. Welsh would be a little better better off speaking to that specifically. One of the benefits that the Voights were brought forward as the benefit of having the forbs in the seed mixes. There was some discussion whether the addition of the forbs to the interim seed mix would have some benefits towards possible compaction. And ultimately, that's not part, as the staff looks at it, of the some of the performance standards that we have for seed mix prior to the final seed mix and final revegetation as well.
Can I just clarify something there?
Of course.
So I left the one that I had notes on in my office. If I'm remembering this correctly, the temporary seed mix is just that, temporary, right? And then, so that's where forbs doesn't belong in our staff's opinion. The forbs would be more suitable to the permanent seed mix?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the permit right now, the Coyote Creek Mining Company has a delayed native grass seed mixture, and it does not include forbs. And the purpose of that mix was to give the company an opportunity to eradicate or control invasive grasses like smooth brome, non-native grasses like smooth brome, crested wheat grass that are present in direct respread topsoil. And so the idea was to delay seeding the permanent native grassland seed mixture to provide an opportunity for the company to control invasive grasses. So there's been in the past complaints about weeds in general. So the company, clips and sprays and uses herbicides that may kill broadleaf forbs. Mm-hmm. Forbs are broadleaf species. Plant species. So including forbs in that mix, it's not something that's a performance standards in our regulations. including them may hinder management and control of, you know, prevent them from doing what they're trying to do in the interim. So sure. That was discussed. Might there be species suitable? Sure. Might it have some benefits? Yes. But I guess if that gives you some...
Well, so it's like steps. There's the first step of your reseeding, prevent erosion, get some critters back into the soil, et cetera, and get rid of the latent weeds that are in the soil. And then the next step is the more permanent native grass seed.
Correct. And there are forbs in that permanent seed.
Permanent,
mixture, yes.
Okay.
And really two different purposes, and one is as well as controlling the invasive grasses and the broadleaf weeds. The intent on the interim of controlling those, Guy, maybe you can speak to the impact that has on the seed bank.
Controlling the weeds.
Right.
Excuse me?
The impact that controlling the weeds has on the seed bank and some of that process.
Right. Well, you know, even if you take topsoil from undisturbed native grassland, you're going to get, you know, a wide variety of annual weeds. It's just, they're just omnipresent. So, you know, controlling them is necessary. And then there's state-listed noxious weeds like Canada thistle that have to be controlled and take, you know, more difficult to control. But what mining companies want to do is to, you know, get a good seed bed and give the best chance for what they seed as a permanent mix to establish. And there's windows of opportunities, and of course it's not a perfect world in terms of moisture and timing, but as a general rule, the mines in North Dakota generally seed in the spring, and if moisture is present, they'll seed, you know, into July, but typically, you know, permanent final native grassland seeding is not conducted through the summer months or even in the fall or now as a dormant fall seeding. So, you know, and they would use like a nurse crop to control erosion, like plant oats or other small grain crops or even sorghum sedan grass, anything to provide a cover, control erosion, and to, you know, to reduce competing annual weeds. So, you know, there's a variety of different methods and of course, herbicides, clipping, and just competing vegetation are all alternatives, I guess, to control weeds.
Okay.
So, in addition to that, we devoiced it as some questions that seem more generally on the respread depths and ultimately some of the revisions related to that and the changes in the revisions as well. Those were largely addressed and as part of the process of the informal conferences to provide education to the landowners as well. As what ultimately is occurring as part of the reclamation process and part of the review.
On the respread depths,
mm-hmm.
did the, after walking through that with voids, was there understanding like, oh, that's why this is different? Or was there still desire to change the respread to the a higher amount of topsoil, even though it wasn't what it would have been deeper than what was there at the beginning?
Well, I wouldn't say at the end that there weren't concerns still, but there wasn't a specific request as a result of the discussion of the respread. And it seemed like there was an understanding generally of at least the process that we use for determining and estimating the respread depth.
Because, I mean, if it was my land, I'd have that concern, too, if I saw, like, oh, what was supposed to be 48 and now it's 36, like, what's happening to the rest of the topsoil?
Right.
But, you know, understanding that, or after getting that clarification, hopefully there was some comfort there.
Well,
I guess
I would say there's probably, there were still concerns, but ultimately the... an alternative request was not provided at the time. So
sure.
That it's not that we won't continue to discuss that if they have any questions or any recommendations as well.
I just want to throw in on that, on those projected respread amounts, those are just projections, not specific exact requirements, right? And there are factors that go into causing those to come out somewhat differently over the course of the process of the mining. Is that right? That there are factors you don't know at the beginning that can change that along the way, and that's kind of the normal operation?
Yeah, that's correct.
And with revision 12, the respread depth change was simply an error. It's simply an error in the permit. There's no data change. It was simply correcting an error.
Mm-hmm. Where did the error come from, Guy? Like, what was the error?
Monty went through this during the informal conference, and it's too bad he's not here to speak towards this end. Because it was his error, but it's laid out in regulations how they go about handling the projected or calculating a projected respread depth, and it's based upon spoil quality. And so they drill down and take samples of the quality of the spoil, and I believe it's on a 40-acre basis, one drill hole per 40 acres.
I believe so.
And they throw out the worst quality, and they take an average of the quality. I'm talking like the salt and so on to get an idea of how poor the overburden, the graded spoil will be. And so they do this for projection up front in the permit, but it's not used. It's not used to determine actually how much subsoil and topsoil is respread. And so this was an error in the math, if you will.
For the projection.
For the projection.
Okay. Got it.
So really all the revision really was just addressing and putting to the correct calculations as specified. But
sure.
Even though it is being done, you know, correctly, I would say probably with most landowners that there's always continued concern about the soil quality. So
yep.
Definitely that's understandable as part of the discussion. There were a number of other issues that were brought forward. Some of these items we weren't really able to necessarily address all that much. We really didn't have our surface water personnel available or our hydrologist too. But, you know, we did hear the concerns, and I know staff did have some discussion about the concerns following the informal conference. A couple other items were discussed as well, including possible soil compaction testing and the soil health and the organisms that are present in the soil and what standards are used for soil health. But again, that was a little bit beyond what we were anticipating to have to address as part of this informal conference. And so those were specified under our recommended order from staff as other issues that we were mostly memorializing for a continued discussion with the voice as well as the company, but not necessarily to have any sort of formal determination as a result of the informal conference. And there are a number of other small issues that were addressed, and I know you've all had the opportunity to look through the orders as well as the memorandum that was provided. But ultimately, the recommended order that was provided by staff and ultimately the recommended order that was provided by the substantive ALJ in this case provided only that one recommended order that they should provide a final native grassland seeding timeline for delayed native grassland seedings to initiate the 10-year vegetation process and also some additional mapping and description of how that ultimately will occur.
So one more question I have. On some of these other issues, I realize they were outside of the bounds of what was noticed, and but just from kind of a high-level view of this, it feels to me like the compaction, some of the ongoing concerns, like the soil health, et cetera, a lot of those are ultimately proven out through the performance of the final reclaimed land and the bond requirements for, you know, bond release.
Yes.
And that's our ultimate test.
Yes.
And the company builds to that. We don't prescribe things every step of the way to get there. I mean, there's general guidance and rules that they have to follow all along the way, but that's what we're, that's the ultimate hammer we have, right?
Generally, yes.
But the, like the compaction, et cetera, there's the standards that are set along the way are intended to avoid compaction, right? So do we need to constantly be doing more things along the way to address compaction? I mean, that's a big, huge issue that's, you know, contemplated a lot and addressed in the existing reclamation standards.
The compaction actually was, I think, not the standards as much as the commission order that was previously done in 2013, where we did actually require some additional compaction testing.
And are they doing that, or when is that? When does that have to come about?
Yeah. Yes, the Coyote Creek Mine has bought equipment to do compaction testing on topsoil and subsoil, and I know Jeremy Eckroth with the mine ran tests for compaction on a number of acres of land that have been, void land included, that have been respread with topsoil and subsoil. You know, they've done this. They have information at the office. I guess they didn't provide us with a summary results, but I know that they did compaction testing on undisturbed land and also on reclaimed land. But the order from a few years ago, it's an order for compaction regarding topsoil and subsoil. This discussion was about compaction of overburden prior to respreading subsoil and topsoil. Mm. So a little different.
I see.
A little different angle.
And I think it should be noted, you know, why landowners have such concerns about that. It's not something that you either have it or don't have it, and it's clear as day. It's such an evolving thing, my understanding. You know, you keep trying to find ways to do things better, and you think you're doing it real well, and then maybe find out later as time goes by that something should have been done better. And there's land that's been bond released for many years that now are, you know, there's complaints about compaction impacts to it, and I think some evidence that it is in fact there. And isn't NDSU currently doing, or I don't know if that has gotten done in the last couple of years, some kind of new study again regarding some compaction issues, but you know, this is just sort of an evolving thing that you keep trying to get better, and then the mines face this dual push. You know, we've got many people around the state, and especially in coal country, that complain to us. I'm sure we've all heard it. You know, you guys let them hold on to this land too long. You got to do bond release and get it back out into private ownership. And then you bond release it, and a few years later, there's signs of compaction or some other problem, and you know they're wanting us to come and do something. Well, no, it's bond release now, and so you know, is the 10 years adequate? You know, some would argue it's not. Some would argue it's way too long. But it's kind of an evolving thing. But I do think that we're getting better and better.
You know, if I could. Just to follow up, but in our performance standard, what Julie was referring to is exactly right. It's demonstrate that the land is as productive as it was prior to mining. And so on native grassland, it's not only production, but it's diversity, seasonality, which is getting into what plants are growing and their percentage and percent warm season and cool season grasses, and then permanence. So it's five different parameters, And ultimately, though, it's production, if you will, that if it's severely compacted, you're probably not going to meet that performance standard. So indirectly, it's addressed in that manner through our regulations and SMACRA.
I had one more thing that I thought, you know, you'd mentioned there were some other topics discussed or something like that, and I think just for a little more emphasis, apparently some of the pictures and film of dust issues were discussed, and regarding whether this variance would, I imagine that the point of that was whether this would cause more dust. And I just wanted to clarify, or I guess make sure I understand right, Guy's comment about making clear that there is no variance from the requirement to mulch and stabilize and plant cover crops. So just because there's a variance on seeding the final grasses, that doesn't mean that it's just left exposed and blowing. It's mulched and has cover crop. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Anything else you think we should know on this?
No, we'd be happy to answer any questions or even relate to this, the recommended order or the hearing.
Could you?
The request of the commission. But.
On the dust stuff, thank you for bringing that back, Randy. Could you summarize the Void's complaints on dust? Is it the same that were expressed in 2016? Or are there new issues? Is it ongoing? How would you describe it?
I would describe it as ongoing. And, Mr. Welsh, I think you're the one who actually does the inspections at the Void mine, right? Or at the Coyote Creek mine as well, right? Wow. And so he would be able to speak to the dust as but I will say during the proceeding, largely the videos and the pictures would be familiar to the two of you, since the vast majority of them were used at the previous proceeding as well.
Okay. And it's my understanding that nothing has changed from that as far as the dust. New evidence saying that there's more dust or anything. When looking at that, there was no.
There were more pictures that were provided in addition.
Right,
to those,
but nothing has
dust
changed.
As well.
There was no change noted.
As expressed, at least from our inspections, there weren't any violations or
right.
of I guess dust emissions or air quality.
I don't have any other questions.
Okay. So the variance on the variance for final native grass on seeding, that's what's addressed in the order. The revegetation, that was mostly about the forbs. The respread depths was the error.
I would say the revegetation was tied to the dust emissions as well, though.
I see.
That was part of the concern, is it was tied to erosion. And, as dust, as you'd imagine, would relate to
mm-hmm.
erosion control.
So can you walk through the number 61, the actual recommended order language, and how that address is different than what, how is that different than what's in the permit now? how does it address the concerns?
Well, and I guess just feel free to jump in, Jonathan or Guy, but immediately it does not address it. What it does is it allows the company to come back and provide the revisions or changes to the revision to address this. So ultimately, they'll come forward, and after subsequent staff review, they'll provide something that's satisfactory related to the timing as well as identification.
Because currently there isn't a timeline specified.
There is, but the revisions make it unclear about the future timelines for revegetation.
Okay.
Yeah, there's just conflicting language in different areas of the permit. You know, one says a maximum 6 years or at least 2 years, and it's not very concise throughout the permit.
And so what does what we tell them do? What does this ultimately require the company to do?
To give a definitive timeline on when that land will be revegetated to the native grassland seeding and put back in production.
In revision 12.
Correct.
That has yet to be approved.
Correct.
So that's
part of the odd part of running through the informal process during the revision process, is because we continue to work with the company and make changes throughout the process, and so nothing is finalized or ultimately approved at this point.
And I think that's, for me, that initially was confusing because the revision 12 hadn't been approved. They just objected to it, and this was all their concerns, and this is how they're going to address, and this is what we're asking them to do in revision 12.
Right. And some of it is that, as part of this process, it is a good opportunity for, like I said, the landowners to become educated of the process and what is actually occurring around their property, and also provide some input, too, on some of their concerns of what's occurring.
Yeah. This information will be useful in getting the language of Revision 12 when it's ultimately brought forward as good as it can be. So.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I just have one question. So, like, you can have a revision 12, but some of these issues, going back to one of the things, I mean, like, is it possible then to have another revision down the road on the same thing? Because some of these issues keep coming up, you know, like when the dust, you know, like when it brought up, and, you know, reading some of this is like, this, it was actually addressed. I mean, is there ever a time, I mean, where something can be, it's done, it's final? You know, is that when the land is released?
Well, during the course of this mine permit, which will presumably be decades, they have to keep doing revisions.
Right.
Is it 5 years?
For renewal.
For renewals.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. And so, you know, the renewal happens every 5 years, but these revisions are just an ongoing thing that factors change.
And sometimes revisions will occur just from staff making recommendations or requests as well. It's like, this needs to be changed to address said issue.
How do you want to proceed, Randy?
Well, I will say, you know, if either of you feel you need more time to review or anything, this is scheduled to be at our meeting tomorrow that, you know, I'm guessing might be a virtual meeting. I don't know. But if it is virtual, it becomes problematic to meet our deadline then to send something out in certified mail. So if I'm comfortable with moving forward with this, and so if both of you are, and you would entertain this, I'd be willing to make a motion right now and move forward with this. And it's off our agenda for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I am. Are you?
I am.
Sure.
Both feel comfortable moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I move the commission adopt the hearing officer's November 8th, 2022 recommended findings and ruling and recommended order for the informal conference held on the application to revision number 12 to surface coal mining permit number NACC-1302 in Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, revision 12, permit NACC-1302, application case number RC-22-233.
Second.
So just to review for our recording and record, on March 17th of 2022, Coyote Creek filed the application for Revision 12, which changes the post-mine topography on 280 acres, adds design plans for 3 sediment ponds, and updates the contemporaneous reclamation section of the permit. The revision application was deemed complete on June 27th, and the Commission issued a notice informing the public that written comments, objections, and requests for an informal conference must be filed by August 29th. On August 29th, Casey and Julie Voigt filed written comments on the revision application and requested an informal conference. The informal conference was held on October 12th. The hearing officer recommended that Coyote Creek provide a final timeline for delayed native grassland seedings, describe how the variance areas will be managed, and provide a map depicting variance from the 3-year seeding rule. The Reclamation Division is recommending the Commission adopt the hearing officer's recommended order, as am I.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second.
If I may, briefly, or just quickly, it was actually the November 4th, not the November 8th. Recommended order from the ALJ. Just want to provide that clarification.
Okay.
Pardon me?
you provided that it was the November 8th recommended findings and ruling recommended order is the November 4th.
For the 3rd.
Well, the 4th is when it's date received.
Okay.
Just want to make sure that's clear.
So with that clarification, any other discussion?
Was there a second?
Yep, she okay. seconded. And in hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. So I think that concludes our work session. Thanks for all your hard work, you guys.